Today marks a year since Illinois did away with cash bail, and a year later, we're looking back and seeing how it's gone. I mean, this was an enormous precedent-setting dismantlement of a pillar of what has been part of the criminal justice system across the country. And a year later, Kim Fox, Cook County State's Attorney, thanks for joining us. I imagine you'll say that, I mean, look, it's been a success. Crime is down, and honestly, there just hasn't been that much noise. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Yeah, of course. Good morning, and thanks for having me back. Yeah, I think the early returns would demonstrate that the sky didn't fall, much to the dire predictions of pundits and others who were saying that this was going to lead to disasters. That is not, in fact, panned out. What we've seen is that the process for detention has been more thoughtful, more probative, that people who should be held in custody are being held. People who shouldn't be have been let go. And as you said, we've not seen a rise in crime, and nor have we seen people not returning for their court dates. And so it's early. It's only a year. But I think the results so far are promising.
Any hiccups along the way, or were they mainly procedural at the beginning?
I think lots of procedural in the beginning. Again, as you just described, this was a heavy lift across the state to change fundamentally how we held these types of hearings. And so everything from changing the court orders that we would use or making sure that everyone was aligned on what offenses would be detainable or not detainable, as well as the appeals process where a defendant could appeal their detention. All of those things, as they were new, needed to be worked out. But I'm really proud of the collaboration that we saw across all stakeholders to work through those.
Are you seeing any crimes committed by people that were let go that wouldn't have been under the previous system that has given you pause? I mean, undoubtedly, there's had to have been a few, right?
Yeah, you know, we've seen some cases where someone wasn't detained and they committed an act of violence. And so the case perhaps that they were not detained on was a nonviolent offense and they came back later with an act of violence. Those cases would happen also under the former system. And so part of this being a human endeavor is that we will see people who we believe should be detained who are not. But those are fewer and far between. But we certainly want to detect trends so that we can make an assessment as to whether or not we need to look at the law again around who needs to be detained and who shouldn't.
A lot of people feared that without that carrot of you'll get your money back by coming and making your court date, that people wouldn't show up. Has there been any increase in people not showing up to their court dates?
So far, the data that has been compiled by Loyola University and others has shown a slight dip in return or failure to appear rates under the cash bail system. According to Loyola's research, in the year prior, we had 17% of defendants not return to court. In this year, it's around 15%. And so I think what advocates and academics and researchers were saying all along was that the monetary carrot, if you will, was not really a determinant for folks. What we were seeing was the opposite, that people who were poor in custody for cases that were not violent were spending a significant amount of their resources that could be for providing for themselves, their families, and their communities, and had a detrimental effect. So we've not seen the opposite so far.
Chatting with Kim Fox here, Cook County State's Attorney. I think that a lot of the debate beforehand, I mean, it was a big discussion. We had it a lot here on this radio station, a lot of texts and calls, and Kim, I would always find them to be well-meaning questions and concerns from listeners. I saw last week you mentioned that you thought critics' attacks were, quote, racist propaganda. Are you painting with a broad brush there, or am I looking too much into this quote? Certainly you don't mean everyone's criticism or curiosity about what would happen stems from racism.
Not at all. And I think that's always the problem when someone clips a quote without the full context. And the full context of that was that there were robust policy discussions and robust policy disagreements. And with any significant piece of legislation, you would want that. What I was speaking to was specifically a misinformation campaign that was spread during an election season in 2022 by the likes of Darren Brayley and Dan Proft, which were sending mailers out to suburban households that had the covers of these fake newspapers with the faces of black and brown men, faces that were in fact darkened. The use of the term the purge, the use of language like they're coming from Chicago to come get you, language that was very eerily reminiscent to what we saw in way back in 1988 when Willie Horton was used in the campaign against Michael Dukakis. That's specifically what I was talking about. I believe that we should have rigorous debate around legislation. It's why I love coming on your show when we're proposing anything, because I think listeners have a right to challenge and be educated. But what we saw, what was most disturbing to me, was it veered from that into what I believe was racist propaganda.
Do you feel like it's important to continue that education? We're still getting text messages, well-meaning ones, wondering, what about repeat offenders? Will they be held more likely? And again, I guess it's important to continue to educate people that judges are the ones now that have the discretion. And in fact, some people that would have been able to buy their way out and commit another crime can't. I mean, there's two sides to that coin.
Absolutely. I think the education component is something that we as public officials have to do regularly, not just when it's a hot button issue, not when we're just trying to get something passed. And I think that was part of a lot of the angst around this bill in the first place, is a lot of people didn't know how the bail system worked. A lot of people were surprised that someone charged with a violent murder could, if they had enough money, walk out of jail. That was shocking to people. I think there were assumptions that were made that the system was working such that people who were a threat could be held. And so now that the law is in place, and while there is this concern about repeat offenders and how do we address that, I think we have an obligation regularly to show how first appearance court works. And what I would also say is, you know, one of the things that was really heartening to me, I just read this morning that the chief judge down in St. Clair County, in downstate Illinois, was talking about what a great success this was. Mm. And so there was a lot of attention of what is happening here in Chicago, but this was a statewide effort where we've seen the data across the state demonstrate that crime rates haven't gone up across the state, that people are appearing in court across the state, so that people aren't just defining this as a Kim Fox campaign here in Cook County. I'm very proud of it. But this was a statewide effort that is meeting out statewide results.
Quickly, news today, a debate over ShotSpotter continues. 14 out of the 17 older people that have ShotSpotter in their neighborhoods want to keep it. Superintendent Snelling wants to keep it. Shouldn't we be listening to the folks in these neighborhoods and the man who runs the department? Shouldn't we go by what they say?
You know, certainly I believe that residents have a right to talk about what they want in terms of impacting public safety. I also understand that the people who make these decisions have to have well-researched and thought-out evidence to support it. And I get the need to want to make sure we have every tool in the tool belt to make sure that we can combat violent crime in our communities. And so, yeah, I think everyone has a right to let their opinions be known. Ultimately, that's a call for the mayor and the city council and not a call that the state's attorney's office has to make.
I don't think this will be a long answer, so I'll ask this question. Any comment on Jussie Smollett?
No, I saw that the case was up before the Supreme Court yesterday. I heard what I believe is a relevant piece of this, which is the right for prosecutors to reach agreements with defendants. I have said all along that prosecutors have a tremendous amount of discretion even to make decisions that people don't agree with. I think ultimately the court will look at that particular issue, not so much around Jussie himself, but the right of prosecutors to make those calls. And so I, like others, will be awaiting their decision.
Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox, I hope we get to chat with you again before the end of your term, okay?
I promise we will. Thank you.
That's Kim Fox.